Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Pro Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, the King's Men, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Louisiana Hayride. To every married man comes this haunting question, button, button, who's got a button? And here, with a buttonless shirt in his left hand and pointing an accusing finger at his spouse with his right, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
What's more, I'm getting pretty tired of finding my shirts with no buttons on them. You realize, Mrs. McGee, that this is the third time that this has happened?
When were the other two times?
Well, once was in June of 1908, and the other time was 1917, the Army turned me down on account of flat feet. In 1918, they took me anyway. It was in 1919, that's when it was.
Or was it?
Oh,
was it?
Never mind, dearie. Hand me my sewing basket, and I'll sew a button on that shirt.
Okay. Wow. Is this just a sewing basket? Look at the stuff you got in it. A Reader's Digest, a bag of gumdrops, a deck of cards, a radio script, a compact. Well, look! A hard-boiled egg.
That's a China egg, foolish. I use it to darn socks.
Oh. Well, I wish you'd keep our scripts and our eggs in different places. Hurry up. I got to get downtown on important business.
What important business?
I don't suppose you think it's important who's going to be the next president of the United States.
Why, certainly it's important, but what have you got to do with it?
Oh, I'm going to meet the fellows in front of Joe's Tavern, and we're going to discuss it.
Oh. I see. The pool room primary. You all... Oh, McGee.
Now what?
I haven't any white thread. I'll have to run over to the 10-cent store and get some.
All right.
Get ready and come with me.
Okay.
Now hurry.
Well, I can't hurry any faster.
Well, why not?
I'm putting on this turtleneck sweater, and it slowed me down. All this fuss about little white thread. Hey, Molly, it's too warm to wear that fur coat.
Oh, it's never too warm to wear a new fur coat, dearie. Anyway, if it gets too hot, I'll just close my eyes and remember how much it costs. That always gives me a chill. Well, let's go. I think I'm going to be a success in this fur coat, dearie.
What do you mean?
I just saw the curtains twitch in Mrs. Gildersleeve's front window.
She stands in the window all day and checks up on the neighbors. When she was younger and her hair was redder, they called her the Orange Pico. Hey, look, Molly, here comes Mrs. Uppington.
Oh, goody. I was hoping we'd meet her today.
Goody? Oh, I see. On account of the new fur coat, eh?
Yeah. And if it doesn't make her face fall farther than they lifted it the last time, I'll be... Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington? So nice to see you.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Uppy, as the amateur ski jumper says when they ask him how the takeoff looks, hi.
That's a gorgeous fur coat.
Here it comes.
Fur coat?
Oh, yes. This. Ah, yes, it's just a little thing I had made up to bum around in. It's a Siberian chinchilla.
Really?
You had it made? Oh, then it's yours.
Why, of course it's mine. I got it at the same place where you got the ermine lap you wear at the opera. You know, the one you always have sent home on approval.
Well, really, it looks devastating on you, Mr. McGee. It takes away that dented eye. I mean, it is so fudge. Really, it simply does wonders for your figure, my dear.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Uppington. So sweet of you. And I do value your opinion so much.
Oh, now, please. My dear.
Oh, no, really. They say you were one of the best dressed women in the country in your day.
And in the country.
So you were really
like my coat, dear.
Oh, indeed I do, Mrs. McGee. I think I shall order two exactly like it. They make charming little rugs for my rumpus room. They seem so lovely underfoot.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, Mrs. Uppington. So few of our guests come barefooted.
Yes, I am wet. Mrs. McGee, you mean that my guests are... Very well. Goodbye.
Goodbye, I hear. You should have got a pilot's license with that coat, Molly. I thought the fur was going to fly any minute. I'm kind of sorry, though, that you and Uppy ain't better friends.
Why, McGee?
Well, you two girls could have such a lot of fun together hunting mice.
Are you inferring, Fibber McGee, that your wife is chatting?
Oh, no, but it wouldn't surprise me to see you two sitting on a back fence some moonlight night singing a duet.
Now, look here, dearie. If you think I'm going to stand here and listen... Why, McGee, you're catching cold.
Oh, no, I ain't either.
Well, you must be. Your eyes are watering and your nose is all red.
Now, that don't prove anything. Your Uncle Dennis always had a red nose and watery eyes, too, and he didn't have a cold.
We won't discuss your Uncle Dennis.
Okay. I think he's pretty unspeakable myself.
Stop.
Dad, that to bed.
Oh, there, Mr. McGee.
Oh.
Hello, McGee.
How do you do, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Oh, hi, Flappy.
What are you sniffing for, McGee? You got a little cold?
Who, me? Oh, no, I'm just rehearsing for a masquerade party tonight. I'm going as a bird dog.
A bird dog, eh? You know, McGee, I'm sorry you're not a bird dog.
Huh?
Oh, I'd love to walk along behind you with a shotgun.
Oh, yeah. Well, look here, Gildersleeve.
You hear that, Mr. Gildersleeve? Don't you think McGee should go home and take care of that cold?
I certainly do, Mrs. McGee. You know, I take him home, give him an ice cold shower, let him take 20 long breaths in front of an open window, then pile into bed with just a sheet over him and an ice pack on his head.
Oh, heavenly day.
Go on, that would kill me.
Yes. I believe it would, McGee.
Well, I didn't expect any sympathy from you, Gildersleeve. You got about as much tenderness as a nightclub furlong.
Yes, that's so.
Yes, that's so.
And you deserve about as much sympathy as a tarantula with a toothache.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Break it up, dear boy. Break it up.
Well.
McGee, are you going to do something about that cold?
Yes, and I think the first thing I better do is get out of this big wind that's blowing around here.
What you really ought to do is go home and get a coat on, McGee. That turtleneck sweater you got on is terrible.
Don't tell me what to wear, Gildersleeve. I know clothes.
Yeah.
I've been known as a snappy dresser all my life. Why, even as a tiny baby, I can remember my nurse showing me off to people and saying, "Ain't he a dapper little fellow?"
Dapper Diaper McGee, I would know that.
The ding-dong daddy of doggy dresses, devastating dimpled baby pants as I dined and danced from dawn to dusk in my devilish dandifying diggity duds, duped in denim or dialed up in dinner dress with diamonds dangling from my digits, drawn dirty gigs from disappointed dumbbells that didn't dare beat up in decent dry goods, and doggone if I wasn't disgusted and derided from a dilly drapery from Dutch Vienna's bells of death to the paper, Billy, I'm out of breath.
McGee, let's not walk any farther. I think you ought to go home and go to bed while you're sniffing and...
Oh, no, I'm okay, Molly. Boy, this sure crept up on me quick, didn't it?
Well, try and close your pores a few minutes, dearie.
What do you mean, close my pores? What do you think my skin is made out of, Venetian blinds? Why did this happen to happen to me? Oh, hello there, little girl. You're better not get too close to me. I got a cold in the head or something.
Get after a cold.
Huh? I says, look, don't you know colds are contagious?
You remember my doggy, Margaret?
Uh-huh.
She's got a bad cold, too.
Oh. Oh, she has he? Incidentally, what kind of a dog is Margaret?
A pointer.
Go on. A pointer.
always better as a flower.
It ain't a dog.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, no, it ain't.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, no, it ain't.
Oh, yes, it is. Well, I bet you mind it is, I bet you.
You mean to stand there with your little half box full of ankles and tell me your dog was a panchetta?
I do. His mother was a tiny and his father was a setter.
We haven't got a baby. If we had a baby, I'd be glad to help you out.
Oh, that's okay, mister. I'll do my little brother and take care of him. I got a job.
Well, grow me a bird and call me Orson. You hear that, Molly? She's going to be...
Oh, come on, baby. I think it's time you did something for that cold.
Maybe I had better get a checkup, Molly. What doctor shall we go to?
Well, there's a doctor's office right over there. Mm-hmm. You see the sign? Dr. Snapple?
Well, hello there, folks. How's everything?
I got a bad cold.
By the way, Mr. Wilcox, what do you know about that Dr. Snapple across the street?
Oh, he's all right. Great hand with animals.
Animals?
Oh, he's a horse doctor.
Sure, but he'll take care of you, sir, but you're full of horse feathers.
You say, we being a doctor, I often talk to him about
how... Look, Harlow,
if you pull the neck of that sweater over his face like that, you'll smother.
No, he won't. But I wanted to tell you how I sold Johnson's wax to Doc Snapple.
I said,
being a doctor, you've got to have an office that's not only immaculately clean, but can be kept clean with very little... Just a minute now. I told him that Johnson's wax would cut his office cleaning down to a minimum, and would give that instant impression of clean, polished sanitation so important to a doctor's office.
No, quiet.
No dust, no fingerprints, everything sealed against dirt and damp. Shut up a minute. So I sold him a big order of Johnson's wax. Okay, Silver, what were you saying?
What's a bad letter? What's the idea? Pull my sweater over my face and you would have seen coming on.
Well, look, the way Johnson's wax beautifies and protects floors and furniture is nothing to sneeze at, and you know it.
Oh, my.
Well, I hope it's nothing trivial, pal. If I were you, I'd try Dr. Cyclops down in the next block. Go on, kid.
He sure loves his work, don't he?
Ah, he does.
That guy wouldn't mind going to the electric chair if it had Johnson's wax on it. It'd be just a love seat to him.
Well, I suppose he said...
Ah, good day, my dear. And good day to you, Knucklebrush. Why, what seems to be a trouble?
Oh, he's got a bad cold, Mr. Boomer. I'm taking him to a doctor right now.
Totally unnecessary, my dear. I have with me the famous old Boomer remedy for a cold which has been in my family for generations.
But the cold or the remedy?
Well, Mr. Chargill, we were so susceptible to colds and coughs, we became known as the Whooping Boomers. This remedy was devised by my great-grandmother, Beulah Boomer, who was stolen by the gypsies when a mere child.
Oh, not really.
Yes, indeed. But she came back the next morning with four gypsies, which she'd stolen herself.
Well, let's see the cold remedy, Boomer. Might save me a doctor bill.
Certainly. How old I put Grandma Beulah's cold cure. Have it right here somewhere. Cold cure. Here's a small bottle of nitroglycerin. Have to be pretty careful with that. I remember young Lou the Lamb from Alabama, but grown up that way. Poor little fellow. But that was Louie all over. Here's a note from another unfortunate lad. Poor chap. Just discovered a gold mine in California. Terrible predicament.
Well, what's so terrible about that?
My dear, he struck gold while digging a tunnel under the wall in Alcatraz. Ah, what's this? Oh, yes. A small electric battery for a jockey saddle. So tell me, do the horses around here run on AC or DC?
Can't you tell by looking at the plug? Huh.
Both
yourself,
see, Biscuit? Let me see now. Here's an empty blank in the Bob Hope baby naming contest. Odd circumstance. Two first program giving a prize the name of Percy with no teeth. The text is short beer.
No, cold Joe.
I must get busy with a Ouija board and ask Grandma for another copy. Good day, my dear. Good day, bean bag.
Good day, boy. That is why do I have to go and catch you?
Oh, heavenly days. Hurry, dearie. The doctor's just a few doors down the street.
Hello there, Snoopy. Hello, Snoopy.
Hi, hello, Mr. DeSopolis.
Hi, Miss.
Pardon the rumor, for the love of goodness sake, is the matter with Scissor, Snoopy?
Ah. The poor lad seems to have just caught a bad cold in the head.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad, Scissor. Why don't you try the remedies I'm getting for my brother? He just sent it to me day behind yesterday. He sent it to you, Miss? My brother, Louis.
Well, that's a fine way to talk about your brother.
Oh, that does not mean to be a derogatory remark, Snoopy. That's my brother's name, Lars.
Oh.
You see, when I'm being born, my mother is willing to call me Nikolaus, but I am turning out to be twin.
Oh.
Really? Yes. Oh. And so my mother is calling me Nikki and my brother Lars. You know, it was all very confusing, I'm thinking. All day long, people were always asking me, boy, are you him?
What about that cold cure, Nick?
Oh, yes. Well, first, Fisher, you take a deep steam bath.
Oh, well, what's that?
Well, it's kind of a wet hot soup, but all over.
Kind of a Turkish bath, eh?
Exactly. Only it's entirely different.
Oh.
With a deep skin bath, you're leaving all your clothes on.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't hurt that through the bit.
Well, is that all there is to it?
No, then you're going right to bed and lay all night between the spring and the mattress.
Between the spring and the mattress? What's that for?
To press the suit. In the morning, you're taking three pills.
What kind of pills?
Personally, I like the round ones. And then you're taking hot eggnog, and believe me, you're feeling like a different man.
Mm. Sounds very efficacious.
Oh, what's the different hot taste, Snoopy? And you remember all those directions, Snoopy?
Sure. A Turkish bath, a good night's sleep, a few round pills, and a hot eggnog.
That sounds like a marvelous thing.
Not so bad.
Gee, it's good, doesn't it? Well, at least you would write it down for me sometime in case I'm getting the face of insulina. And thank you very much for telling me about it. Well, so long, Scissor. So long, Scissor.
What we really need to be is a sure cure for all the people we know sure cure.
Now, here's Dr. Cyclops' office.
That's
going to
be fun. How do you do? I hope you haven't found Mr. Dr. Cyclops. He's extremely busy these days. Well, how's he getting along with his book, dearie?
Oh, what? How did you know the doctor was writing a book?
Well, why should he be an exception?
I was going to write a medical book myself once, first, but it was about a doctor that had his practice in Africa. And one day he started to give a gal a hypo, and when he takes her, she gives him a dirty look and says, real haughty, Dr. Livingstone, you presume. My hot tonight. That is the first step, Rick, and the climax of the book.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Cyclops.
Good morning, Miss Jones. My, just had an interesting case at the hospital. Man came in and couldn't stop laughing, simply howling with glee. But he's resting now.
Well, what was wrong with him, Doc?
Oh, just over with. He was a good humor salesman. you waiting to see me?
Yes, we were, Doctor. My husband seems to have a bad cold.
I'm Kevin McGee, Doc, and this is Mrs. McGee.
How do you do, I'm sure?
Yes. Just step into my office, please. And Miss Jones.
Yes, Charlie.
Patient present, my pet. If Mr. Dobson calls again, Tell him it is medically impractical to build up the fatty tissue in any particular location.
Yes, sir.
Tell him that if he must go to the doubleheader baseball game this summer, to take a cushion. That's all. Right this way, Mr. McNipple. Yes.
May I leave my fur coat with you, nurse?
Of course, no matter.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead, doctor.
Sit down, please.
Yes.
Now then, Mr. McGee.
Yes.
You say you're a good humor salesman?
Yes. No, I'm a good humor salesman. That was the other case. Remember?
Oh, yes.
Now, well, look, doctor. Your husband is suffering from a cold in the head. Will you please examine him?
Of course, please.
Show him how you can wiggle your ears too, dear.
How am I, Doc?
Well, hard to tell. Ever had a hepatitis? Any history of green apricolic or bicycle knees? Feel any stiffness after seeing Gone with the Wind?
Molly. Hey, look. I ain't got a sign of a cold now. I ain't even sniffed for 5 minutes.
Mr. McGee is right, Mrs. McGee. He's a perfect health.
Yes.
No fever? No cold symptoms whatsoever?
No, boy, do I ain't super. I'm an easy breeze, but a quick meal.
Well, thank you very much, doctor.
Yes. I suggest you leave your name with Miss Jones as you go out for our mailing list. Having a special on fractures next week.
Well, thank you for watching me first, so dearie. And I'm glad to say there's nothing wrong with your husband. Call me Coach McGee.
Okay. You think this was probably just some temporary...
Oh, Dad.
I thought that doctor said there was nothing wrong with me.
Oh, dear.
But if that's what the doctor said, you can depend on it, sir.
Oh, yeah. I suppose you think I go around sneezing for my own amazement.
Oh, no, sir. But you might be allergic to something. That would give you the same symptom.
But McGee isn't allergic to anything that we know of.
No, the only thing I was ever allergic to in my life was rabbit.
That's right. Yeah. Rabbits were always did make me sneeze.
Hey, rabbit.
Hey, Molly. Rabbit. Don't you get it?
Get what?
That's fur coat. It's rabbit. You got this.
What? I don't believe it.
That ain't a Siberian food killer. It's just a house and pepper house coat.
Don't you get it, Mike?
I said it ain't Siberian food killer.
It ain't Bunny McGee. What's that crate of potatoes on the back porch? Where'd they come from?
Oh, didn't you know, Molly? Governor Batalston of Idaho sent us in.
Oh, no, really?
Sure. Remember how we mentioned my Uncle Spud McGee of Pocatello, Idaho, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Well, Idaho appreciated the plug and sent us a box of potatoes.
Well, isn't that nice?
Yeah. So next week, we're kind of planning on writing a story on one of the big automobile plants in Michigan. Like, for instance, Cadillac or Lincoln.
Oh, wonderful. Are you listening, Governor Dickinson?
Yeah. Good night.
Good night, all.